Good evening, everybody. Apologize for not writing. I'm just plain working long hours. And by the time I get home at night, I don't feel like doing anything except taking a shower and going to sleep.
For Robert McKnight, home in Vietnam is his hooch, a small room in a wooden building with a tin roof. The Army lieutenant from Burlington was stationed in the Central Highlands, at strange-sounding places like Pleiku and Dak Tho. These confidential letters are held at the State Historical Society, and this is the first time they've been shared with the public.
And then yesterday, my company commander informed me that I was being relieved. That means there will be nobody there that knows what's going on.
Lieutenant McKnight was like a grocery store manager, in charge of warehousing food, general merchandise, and fuel for the 4th Division and other units in the Pleiku area. There's an old saying that an army marches on its stomach.
I'm all the time having fights with my battalion headquarters and Quinyan, and everybody says, well, you didn't do this right and didn't do that right. Okay, I'll do it again, I'll do it over. People get all bent out of shape if Dak Tho doesn't get any ice cream. Granted, ice cream is nice, it's a real good morale factor, but gee whiz.
This is the American Forces Vietnam Network.
During much of the 2.5 hours of tape, McKnight is listening to AFVN, a network of U.S. military radio stations that broadcast music, news, and public service announcements.
AFVN, Pleiku.
McKnight also received audio letters from his family in Burlington, then recorded over them with his latest dispatch from the war zone. The end of one reel was not erased, and we hear his late parents, Harold and Audella McKnight.
Now this tape is just about over. And so we're going to have to say good night to you. Here's your mother.
Good night, Robert.
And it's about 2:50 now. And
the time at the tone, 2200. B-52s take to the air again for 10 more strikes.
Well, we had a pretty exciting time here last Friday morning. About 2 o'clock, I was sleeping soundly and dreaming of Ellen and being home and all that good stuff. And all of a sudden, I jumped out of bed and I heard a whump, 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 whump.
It was soon after North Vietnam's Tet Offensive in 1968, and Charlie, the enemy, had launched a mortar attack and penetrated the barbed wire perimeter.
Now, I remember losing my flip-flops in the mud and just barefooting it over to the bunker and jumping in. So they got in the mortar pool with their satchel charges. They must have made them up, and then they started setting them off and throwing them, and they destroyed about 20 different kinds of vehicles. I didn't really get too mad about the whole deal until I found out they hit my Jeep, and then I really got mad.
There were U.S. injuries, but no one was killed.
So Charlie could just as easy have thrown his satchel charges and grenades into the barracks instead of hitting a motor pool. But he figured we could replace people a lot easier than we can replace equipment. By golly, he's right.
Typical of Iowans today, McKnight grumbled frequently about the weather, in this case, the monsoon season.
It's raining again. The stock on my carbine is mildewed, but it gets cold. This rain feels like it's going to snow. You know, the day before a real big snowstorm, a wet snow, when there's a strong wind and the rain comes down, it's real fine, and you know it's going to snow. Well, that's how it's like here most of the time. So as I sit here contemplating my room and thinking, boy, I'm never coming back to anything like this once I get away. So you can hang it up as far as me extending for a year, because I don't want to take a chance on ever having to do this again. Once is enough.
McKnight was single and 23 when he made these recordings. He'd met a California girl at a USO dance, and the long-distance relationship was tested by mail delivery and doubt.
My dear, sweet, lovable young thing on the West Coast hasn't been too faithful in her letter writing, so I didn't send her any kind of a present or anything for birthday. I just sent her a birthday card. As far as I'm concerned at this time, that's quite adequate. If she keeps going like she has been, she's only going to get a card for Christmas, too.
Some servicemen cured loneliness with Vietnamese companionship. The most famous entertainment district was Tudo Street in Saigon. Lieutenant McKnight found his way there 42 years ago.
We went down and took a walk on one of the infamous streets down there and visited with some of the girls. Most of them, if you don't buy them a Saigon tea, which is just nothing but a shot glass with a tea or cold water or something in it, for anywhere from 200 to 400 piastres, which is $2 to $4. If you don't buy them one, they won't sit and talk to you. So we didn't have too many girls sit and talk with us.
McKnight finally found true love in Iowa. He survived Vietnam, returned to Burlington, went to the University of Iowa, and got married. After hearing the tapes for the first time in more than four decades, what surprises him today?
There was a lot of stuff on there that I did not remember. I guess there was a lot more artillery and mortars and so on, because my dad must have said, "You're scaring your mother to death. Please, you know, don't put that stuff in there."
Bob is 67 now, retired from the insurance business, and lives in Aurora, Illinois.
When I got to Doc Toe, then I was the one that certified soldiers that were killed in action.
This is one thing Bob did not talk about in these recordings. Since he controlled refrigeration units, he had to store American soldiers killed in action until they were returned home.
You know, thinking back on it, I would probably have a much tougher time doing that now than I did then, because then I was fully engrossed in the, you know, the military life and in the combat zone.
Even as the war dragged on in 1968, McKnight saw potential in Vietnam's future.
There's a real nice beach that goes from Da Nang all the way up, miles and miles and miles. I bet it would rival the Riviera if there wasn't a war going on. That's too bad.
Today, China Beach is an international vacation spot. Vietnam is a growing Asian economy, and Bob McKnight says he'd love to go back as a tourist.
How about that? Well, I got to go now, so good night, and I'll finish this tomorrow.
I'm Rick Fredrickson, Iowa Public Radio News.